to say here, how many of you would consider me kind of a father in the faith at all in some ways? Some of you would. Some of you? Okay. So if you're a dad in the faith, you should be able to tell bad dad jokes, right? I don't remember which one of our children. I just want to train you dads for properly ministering to your children. So I don't remember which of our kids is to blame for this book that came to me in a gift at one point. But why did the dad spider tell his son to go outside and play? Because he was spending too much time on the web. All right. How do you organize an event in outer space? You plan it. Oh. The youth pastor coming through on that one. All right. Taking all my fun away, aren't you, Billy? Hey, we had some fun here yesterday. We had a very small, special wedding ceremony for this young couple right over here. Let's give it up for Mr. and Mrs. Daniel and Tanya DiGuardi. And so exciting. And the reason there are not, like, you know, our normal decorations back here on the backstage is because there's been some guys working really hard through the last few weeks. And the baptismal tank that had been delivered right before COVID hit last year is now in that space. Isn't it amazing? We got a couple pictures, Sophie, I think. You got those ready? Okay. We'll be sideways for a little bit, but that is in the hole. That there you go. There's some guys about to lift that baby in, and that was a six-person project, actually, to take those 2x4s out from under it and drop it in there. And it strikes me so amazing that the people who designed this as a movie theater at one point happened to have all this space under that back platform and just happened to have the water supply come into the building back there, the drain that goes out back there, plenty of electric under there for heating the water, no less. But I just think that's amazing. They didn't know what they were doing when they built this building, but God did, and he was preparing a place. We're in the last of a series this week on the disciplines in the darkness. One of the most impressive displays of discipline as followers of Jesus Christ I came across in this video clip. Sophie, if you're ready with that, run this from somewhere in Eastern Europe, Eurasia, the former Soviet Union. Here's some believers following the Lord. So if we can't get this tank hooked up very soon, we're going to be meeting down at the Awatka Creek. Hey, this is serious there.
От греха я спасен, Божий мир возворен, сердцем верую я в Иисуса.
Будем молиться. Брат Казвек, веришь ли ты, что Христос Иисус Сын Божий, личный твой Спаситель.
Верю.
Поверь твое крещу во имя Отца, Сына и Духа Святого. Аминь.
Аминь.
Вставай. Все, помолимся. Благословенный Господь, благословен Ты, достоин славы и чести. Благодарим, что могли совершить здесь. Благослови брата, укрепи. Для славы имя Твоего. Аминь.
Аминь.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Sophie, for that. So grateful for the work God had done in their life. It just didn't have to wait till spring. We don't have to wait to obey Jesus Christ if He's really Lord of our life. Go talk to that person. Well, maybe later I'll do that. He's worthy of our best. There are hundreds and thousands of Christians being martyred every year for their faith in Jesus Christ. I heard a couple years ago a minister in Baghdad, Iraq, say that when Muslims convert from following Muhammad to following Jesus, like they can pretend if they're reading the Bible and they can if they're caught reading a Bible, they can say, well, I was just investigating Christianity so that I can argue properly with Christians or whatever. But when they get baptized, they're making a public declaration that I am identifying myself as a follower of Jesus. And when they do that, they said there's a very high percentage of them are killed within a few weeks. This was a few years ago. So we are so blessed. We are so blessed. Our freedoms, you know, we sometimes think following Jesus is so hard. Come on. Come on. There really is power in making a public statement that says, I belong to Him. I'm from another kingdom. I don't live in this kingdom. I live in that kingdom. Even when there's deep darkness in the earth, I am living among the happiest people on earth. In fact, there was a book called that back in the 70s, I think it was, The Happiest People on Earth. Demas Shakarian, was that? How about pulling that up out of the memory banks? If you can find that, it's a read worth finding. The Happiest People on Earth. But we're in a series about walking in being a people of light at a time of deep darkness. Based on Isaiah 60, it says, Arise, shine, for your light has come. This is a prophetic word for our day, for the church in this day, for this era in human history. It says, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you, for behold, darkness shall cover the earth, and deep darkness the people. There is deep darkness in our nation, in our culture, around the world. But the Lord will arise on you, and His glory will be seen upon you. And so this series is about personal disciplines that help cultivate and foster a life that will be those, so that we will be those people of light as we allow God to change us. We talked in this series about putting God first, about guarding our attention from the many different voices that speak, and allowing His word to transform us. Last week, I talked about why the discipline of praise is so important. And not only in this life do we have the opportunity, as the testimony shared, only in this life can we offer a sacrifice of praise, because in the next life, it won't be an offering or a sacrifice. It'll be so easy to do that. So as we start, today I want to build on last week's, which message was about praise. This week I want to talk about gratitude. And I want to ask you to take a moment and take a mental note of three things you're grateful for related to this church. Just three things related to this church that you are grateful for. All right, you take a second. Might be the kids ministry, might be the youth leader, might be the youth pastor, might be the video team, it could be the sound guy, it could be the kids ministry. What are you grateful for related to this church? We have an opportunity to plant seeds of gratitude that will bear fruit. What we plant matters. It struck me this morning, I was thinking about how many harvest festivals there are in our culture. And then it struck me, you know, throughout human history, going back to Bible days, there were festivals related to the harvest. In our region, there's the Apple Umpkin Festival a few miles to the south of us. There's the Corn Festival a few miles east of us. Go down to Naples, New York, and there's the Grape Festival. What are they celebrating? They're celebrating. Look, we worked, we labored, we planted, we cultivated, we cared for through this whole season, and now we have a harvest, and we're celebrating. And so it's natural to do that. But the harvest is never seen if there isn't time between the work and the fruit. And sometimes, because we don't see the fruit immediately, we don't take the energy or the focus to plant the right seeds when it's not harvest time. And I'm telling you, gratitude is a seed we need to be planting. Gratitude is a humble acknowledgement of God's grace and hand upon our life. Who are we? I mean, who are we to have been born in the richest country on the earth? Who are we to have been born here instead of North Korea? Who are we that God would give us the health and strength and ability to even provide a basic living for ourselves? Who are we that the highest king would come down from heaven and die for us on a cross? Who are we? We have a nation today full of people who have more material things than people have ever had in the history of humanity, and yet it's not enough. Why is it not enough? Because it was never meant to be enough. Material things were never meant to be enough. Why are people still not satisfied? Because they're not in right relationship with God. Number one, either they never entered into that relationship, or number two, they've forgotten about their creator, and they've gotten a little apathetic, or they've stopped sowing the seed of gratitude. They've quit tending the field, if you will, and so they're not reaping the harvest. How can we not say thank you to God and give him all our hearts for what he's done? I mean, doesn't he literally hold our breath in his hands? Isn't he not one day going to take it back from us? In a sense, doesn't he already own us? But it's our choice whether we want to allow him to have lordship in our life. Imagine a farmer who fails to plant, who fails to cultivate, who fails to water, irrigate, or weed his field. He's not going to have a harvest party, is he? He's not going to be having one. We plant, we water, we cultivate, but God brings the increase. There's some things we cannot do. God is the one who brings increase. And when we plant seeds of gratitude, there's a harvest going to come. And the celebration of like a harvest festival comes after God does his part, but people had to do their part. The celebration in our lives will come after we do our part in planting seeds. Seeds of gratitude make a difference. Seeds of ingratitude make a difference. 1 Thessalonians 5, 16-18 says this: rejoice always, pray without ceasing. And if you have ever asked the question, I don't know what God's will is for my life, here it is: in everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. In everything, give thanks. That's his will for your life. The other things are secondary to this one. If we're living as a people of light, we acknowledge humbly who God is and who holds our literal breath in his hands. It doesn't say, by the way, give thanks for everything, but in everything. 2020 and 2021 have been tough times for us. Not tough times like we saw in that video, or not tough times like Iraq or North Korea, but they've been tough for us. And I don't thank God for everything that happened in this last year and a half. But in it, I'm so thankful because he is good and he's doing some amazing things. We've got to keep our eyes on him in the middle of it. Gratitude and ingratitude are funny things. They're very opposite each other. You plant one seed, you're going to get a certain kind of fruit. You plant the other seed, you're going to get a different kind. The Israelites, they complained. Oh, man. They complained in the desert. God just delivered them out of Egypt. They had been slaves for 400 years. They'd endured all kinds of abuse, beatings, pressure on their life, 400 years, and God delivers them out, brings them out of the, with all the wealth of Egypt. The people of Egypt gave them all their gold and silver and all their belongings. Said, get out of here. You're okay to go. Go now. Go now. It's a long story, but that's how it got down to that, where they were like, get out of here and take everything we have with you. And they're coming across the desert. They get up against the Red Sea. Pharaoh changes his mind. His army's behind him. The sea's in front of him. God opens the Red Sea so they can walk through. They get through that. Can you imagine how you'd feel if you saw the sea part and you got to walk through it? Wouldn't that be amazing? And they get through that incredible miracle, and 3 days later, they're complaining. And a month later, they're saying this. In Exodus chapter 16, verse 3, the children of Israel said to them, "Oh, that we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt when we sat," look at their perspective, "when we sat by the pots of meat and when we ate bread to the full. For you have brought us out into this wilderness to kill us with hunger." The people who had been brought through the Red Sea in such a powerful way couldn't trust him for their basic daily needs. Is that so unlike us today? They somehow forgot about the slavery and the beatings and all the things that could have been happening. And the one thing, they got a little bit hungry, and they're like, "Oh, I wish we'd have died back there as slaves." Rejoice always, Paul said. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ for you. Last week, we focused mostly on the rejoice always part. Today, I want to contrast gratitude and ingratitude. Because grateful people are powerful people. Grateful people can literally plant seeds of thanks that produce great, more blessings. More blessings come to their life. They can expand the ones they're already walking in. And where there didn't seem to be blessings, there's going to be blessings come back by planting seeds of thankfulness and gratitude. So I want to take a look at what happens, so the fruit of these two different kinds of seed. I'm going to start with the bad ones first. Let's start with ingratitude, unthankfulness. Let's look at what results from planting that seed. Number one, a critical spirit. A couple years ago, I was invited to go to a leadership event in another community at a church in that community, and they brought in some big name person from somewhere in the country to come and pour into us. It was a day of pouring into pastors to refresh us. And I walk in there, and I started letting this critical thought pattern well up inside of me. And I'm like, well, that wasn't a very warm greeting when I walked in here. Nancy's team would have done a better job than that. And that song was good, but it wasn't Lori Parmenter. She would have knocked that one out of the park. And the sound system, oh, they need to spend some money on their sound system, because this is hard on my ears. And then I looked over, and there's other people standing there. They're just worshiping Jesus, encountering the Lord. And I thought, what am I doing here? What's happened to me? What's happened was I stopped planting thanks and gratitude for the purpose of the meeting, a chance to get refreshed and not have to come in and pour out. I could just come and receive. I lost the discipline of sowing thanks. And because I did, I became critical. Criticism is poisonous. Bitterness can't grow inside a heart that's grateful. Here is the Old Testament Israelites. It says that their shoes never wore out. They had manna every day being provided for them. Water came out of hillsides. But this complaining spirit just got cultivated. The lack of gratitude for being delivered from slavery, they stopped being grateful for that. They became complainers and critics. And they never, that generation never entered the promised land. And you can't live an ungrateful life and enter into all that God has for you. You cannot. In a critical, complaining heart. Criticism is toxic. Bitterness is toxic. Social media can be toxic. It's hard to be hateful towards other people if you're grateful for what God's given you. But our culture is full of hateful speech being poured out. So, critical spirit. Second fruit of ingratitude, unthankfulness, is comparison. This whole comparison thing. If you're ungrateful for what you have, if you start looking at what others have, you can easily compare and get ungrateful for what you have. I know two young adult ladies. They know each other, but they live far apart. One's married, one's not. And I've heard these words come out of their mouths. One says, the single one says, "When I see her social media posts, I just really feel jealous." The married one says, "I don't have a life. I live my life through the social media posts of the other person." I want to say, would you two meet each other? Spend some time together. Find out what really goes on in your lives. Comparisons. Looking at what others have will cause you sometimes to devalue what we have. And we can't do that. Don't compare even the process you're going through in your life to what others are going through, because God's preparing you for something unique, and he's preparing other people for what he's got for them. Well, they got that honor, and I didn't. Hey, God's got something different. He's working on you than on them. Third fruit of an ungrateful heart is entitlement. And this is an attitude that sets you up to fail, because it sets you up to receive less in the future. I saw a video. I was trying to find one that I thought could work, and I thought, no, I can't use any of those, because if I do, I feel sorry for the people who, somebody actually made video of ungrateful kids and then put them on YouTube. And I'm like, I hate to be that person growing up and having that there for the whole world to see for the rest of my life. You know, you don't talk about getting labeled. But there was a young woman who was given a car for her birthday. She's being brought out of the house. Her family is outside except for her mom and maybe a friend, I don't know. But her brother's on the camera, and her dad's standing next to the car. She comes out of the house, and they all say, "Surprise, happy birthday, here's your car." And she starts crying because it's red. "Daddy, I wanted a blue car. I wanted a blue one." And she won't calm down. And the brother's like, "Ease up. Dad can have it painted." And I'm like, wait a minute, here. You know, as a parent, it makes you regret giving them anything when a child is ungrateful. How does God feel when we're ungrateful? Contrast that with Alex Roth. Years ago, when Alex is now an Army, a crew chief of a helicopter crew. Is that right? Staff Sergeant Alex Roth. Grew up in this church, married our former youth pastor, and took her away. That's okay. I'm not bitter. But years ago, when he was just a little guy, my wife made some cookies, and I don't remember what was happening at the Roth house, but she took some cookies down to the Roth house down the street from us. And this is not to take any away from Mama Roth, because she's an amazing cook. We've been the beneficiary of some of her stuff. But Alex Roth lavished so much thanks on my wife. I mean, now every time Alex is around, he's how old now? 30-something? Well, close to 30? Okay. If he comes home on leave, the oven goes on in our house. The dough starts getting formed. The cookies come out. And this happened the whole time. For the rest of Alex's life when he lived in New York, this kept happening. And it still happens to this day when he's in the area. The plates of cookies come out, and my wife will say, "Don't touch that." And I'll say, why? She'll say, that's for Alex. Why? Why did that happen? Because he was so grateful and lavished so much thanks. I think there's a lesson there for us in that. Would they make it down there is the question. Okay. All right. Fourth bad fruit from an ungrateful heart and ungrateful from sowing the wrong kind of seed is fatigue. I'm talking soul fatigue here. Oh, another day of work. Another day with that person. Another day of teaching. Another day of serving at the church. Another this, another that. You know what? Paul said to Timothy in 1 Timothy 1, he says, I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has enabled me because he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. Paul says, he put me in this place. He gave me this work to do. What if that's our reward? What if our job is our reward? What if our role, our ministry is our reward in itself? What if that was the only reward? If we live ungratefully, hey, someday nobody will be asking for your help. They'll say, you know what? No thanks. Now, let's talk about the good news here. What does gratitude produce, on the other hand? The first thing is joy. It's got to be number one. The happiest people on earth are the most grateful ones. People are chasing happiness. Rejoice always. Be thankful in all things. You won't find joy out there somewhere. Joy is not based on what's going on in our circumstances. Joy is a condition of our heart that says, my life is in Jesus Christ. He's the strength of my life. And whatever's going on out there, I have a relationship with my Creator, my Savior, who died on the cross for me. He loved me so much. We got to look inside and be thankful. And our soul will be lifted up. We used to sing that song out of the Psalms. This is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. You know, if the Lord wakes you up tomorrow, don't make him regret it. He did his part. Now go do yours. Joy, number one. Number two, fruit of gratitude is courage. Gratitude, thankfulness, strengthens us. It changes the atmosphere in a room. Think of David and Goliath, a familiar story. There's this huge, big 9-foot giant, or however tall he was, and he's threatening the armies of Israel. Send one man out here to fight me, and if I kill him, you're all going to be our slaves. If he kills me, we'll all be your slaves. And Israel's army is all scared, and David, he overhears it, and he's like, I'll do this. And they're like, no, you're just a little guy. You're just a little boy. Don't do that. He says, wait a minute. I remember this bear that came and tried to take one of my dad's sheep, and I killed that bear. God helped me. And I remember this lion that came and grabbed a hold of one of my lambs, and God strengthened me, and I killed that lion. What's he doing? He's remembering, and he's giving thanks. And in the middle of giving thanks over what God's done in the past, the courage rises up inside him to say, and I'll kill that uncircumcised Philistine too. How dare he taunt the armies of the living God? Some thought that giant was too big to kill, and David said, he's too big to miss. I won't miss him. Third fruit of a grateful heart is happiness. And happiness sometimes gets a bad rap. It's not as spiritual as joy. Happiness depends on circumstances. Joy is independent of circumstances. And that's true. But life is more fun around grateful people. Amen? Don't you just love being around worried, critical, complaining, negative people? Don't you just love it? We talk about fearful things all the time. No, it brings attention into the room. And gratitude brings life into the room. It changes the temperature. It changes the atmosphere. I'll be happy when, whatever. When I get married. When I have kids. When I get a raise. When I get promoted. When I get a job. When I retire. Then I'll be happy. No, cultivate the discipline of gratitude and you'll affect the temperature in a room with your attitude. Because I'll be happy when whatever is a race that you'll never finish. There's no rope at the end, that one. Start with gratitude. Watch your energy rise. You'll be strengthened. You'll enjoy life. And fourth and lastly, the last fruit I want to share today about gratitude and thankfulness is satisfaction. Contentment. When you're thankful for what you have, you don't focus on what you're missing. The spirit of the world is this isn't good enough. Your cell phone doesn't do this. I need another one. Your car doesn't have heated seats. I better buy a Lexus. When you're okay with what you have, it frees you up to enjoy it and to enjoy your life in general. The secret to having it all is knowing that you already do have it all in Christ. He has not withheld any blessing in heavenly places, the Bible says. Phyllis, if you'd come. Are you thankful this morning? Are you thankful for Jesus? Are you thankful for his sacrifice on the cross for you? Are you thankful for what you do have? Are you thankful for who you do have? Are you thankful for your church family? We need one another. We aren't created to do this alone. I'm thankful for Ann over there who's prayed for me. I wouldn't be the pastor I am if it weren't for people like her praying over there. I'm thankful for that guy back there that was a trustee for 15 years for this church before stopping. Thank you, Matt, for that. I'm thankful for each person who serves here in so many different and unique ways with your different personalities and gift mixes. And the whole body is held together by that which every part supplies, Paul said in Ephesians. We need each other. Hallelujah. Let's stand together. Hey. We can't be the most gifted people on the planet, but we can be the most grateful for the pandemic, regardless of the politics, regardless of the national news, regardless of all that. The good news is I belong to Jesus Christ. My life's in his hands. It's in hallelujah. Amen. Father, I pray your blessing on this people. I pray, God, that the grace to walk in that gratitude. I pray your provision be unleashed in new ways. I thank you for the processes you're taking each of us through. They're all unique, but I thank you that your purposes are good, the destiny's awesome and exciting. So for the joy set before us, help us to endure whatever hardships we might encounter. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you.